Friday night, Sunday brunch, it does not matter. Facts are facts, queen. Every cigarette can cut your life short. Find that hard to believe? Then tap the banner for more. This free life. Freedom to be tobacco free.
Born Radio. Today's show. Don't forget to check out our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com.
Welcome to Warn Radio Advocacy and Gospel News with the Watchman Dana Smith and me. I'm Tower. We have a great lineup for you tonight, so I'm glad you joined us. Today is March 13th, 2019. The readings in the Word this week are found in Leviticus chapter 1, starting at verse 1 through chapter 6, verse 7. Isaiah chapter 43 verses 21 through chapter 44 verses 23. The New Testament portion is Mark chapter 11 starting at verse 1 through chapter 12 verse 44. Also Hebrews chapter 10 1 through 18. The featured posts by the Watchman this week are State of a Nation, Moral or Immoral. State of a Nation. When looking at the direction of a nation or a people, we look to its leadership. Excuse me. This includes the political, religious, and social leadership of a nation. The first look we as Christians must have is at Scripture. It is here that it is not unusual to find the prophets of Israel all standing against the immoral waves of its leadership. Also, Jesus Christ, blessed are you who have believed, not yet seen. Jesus Christ, believers and being blessed. I was outside and enjoyed the day. The sun was bright. It was a beautiful day, and people were enjoying the peaceful atmosphere. Couples walking the path with their babies in strollers. People walking their dogs and kids enjoying it as well. There is no doubt in America, life has been good. In this country, there is little to none of the persecution against Christians like there is in other nations. You can listen to Warn Radio worldwide from your PC, Android, Apple device, and many other avenues. You can listen from the front pages of warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com, and also from the warn-usa.com blog, you can listen or watch all the shows, and from Spreaker or the Spreaker app. You can follow Warn Radio on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Tumblr, and others. So go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com, where you can read the latest articles by The Watchman and also listen to the shows. And tonight on our show, on our Advocacy, Faith, and Gospel News, we are featuring Willing to Die for Their Faith, Militants Now Serving God, Widow Faces Eviction from Veterans Home, Wang Yi Early Rain Church Persecuted. For parents, it is illegal to counsel their own children. So stay tuned for those stories and more And now I welcome in the Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. Even though we're in the middle of a bomb cyclone by Winter Storm Ulmer?
Yeah. The first time we've been in a cyclone.
Yeah. Kind of bizarre.
A lot of snow. And it ain't done yet. Up on the mountain, they're expecting upwards of 3 foot.
Oh, I'm glad we don't live up there.
And then they said 2.5 feet. So it's going to be a lot of snow.
Either way, yeah.
Not real cold, but I mean, it is if you stand around in it for a while. But, you know, it's not like January.
Right. Thank the Lord.
You know, when you have below zero temps and during the daytime. And see, it was blowing this afternoon. We were not doing too bad.
They said that with this bomb cyclone, it could bring tornadoes and flooding and whiteout conditions. Probably a loss of electricity as well.
Well, you know, that's one thing about up here in Wyoming. We don't get too many tornadoes. Never had to worry about them before.
Yeah.
You know, but if you get in Nebraska and Colorado and Kansas, you do. You've got a corridor down there, and it's pretty dangerous. But today we're starting in our news and announcements of these are shorter stories. And this comes out of Gatestone Institute, the first one. And we talked about, you know, Germany's propensity because of Merkel allowing so many illegals into their country. Or in this case, they just opened the borders. And I think she let in, by the time it was done, over 1 million, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right.
But, you know, we've seen the EU countries struggling with the Muslim, because they're mostly Muslim, that came in. And they're having all kinds of trouble. The UK is having the same kind of trouble. The police reported, now this is in Germany, more than 4,100 knife-related crimes last year. And there was 3,800 reported during 2017. But see, if you go clear back to 2008, there was only 400. And the difference is that they let in so many people, foreigners, into their country. These are Muslims. And no Western country has been able to you know, bring Muslims into their country and fully westernize them to the culture or get them to become part of the culture. They always wind up being radicalized and against the country they're in. And we pretty much, I remember when ISIS was going through the land and killing Christians and everything, at one time, even in Syria and Iraq, there was a lot of Christians there. And I remember a report from these Christians about what was happening. And they said, you know, a long time ago, the Muslims came to us and we accepted them into our country. There was a lot of us then. And over years, they took it over as their own. And they claimed it was their land. And they became enemies. I mean, that's basically what they did. And we see this a lot, where they come in, and that's, of course, where even with Israel, the Muslims claim that, you know, it's their land. It's not their land. But they claim it, just like they claim everything else.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, so Germany has these knife crimes, and they've continued nonstop into this year. And just this year, and you know, you figure there's 500 knife crimes, an average of 11 a day. That may not sound like much, but if you're living in a country that's supposed to be free and supposed to be democratic and supposed to be, fairly democratic, in other words, free. Free to worship, free to move and live, you know, and stuff like that. Well, it's not very good.
Yeah.
And there was, they gave an example, a 33-year-old illegal immigrant from Niger who came in, had a girlfriend, a 34-year-old German, and he stabbed her to death and cut off her head, cut off the head of their 21-month-old daughter. This was in Hamburg.
It was happened in a subway station.
You know.
That's horrible.
Dear just, God. You know. He was sentenced to life because he stabbed to death his girlfriend and cut off the head of their daughter. God.
It's horrible. Dear God.
You know. And, of course, you know, this was a guy that, you know, was a murderer. But, see, Islam is notorious for treating women. And they've got a history. It was the other day that I saw this ex-ISIS bride. Oh, she still had the covering over her head and wouldn't be seen because of what she was saying. She said in the Quran, it's mentioned many times, numerous times, that it's okay that if you're a woman and you're an unbeliever, it's okay for the men to rape you and abuse you.
That is so idiotic.
Well, you see, by those words there, the women that allow this, you know, are putting up with the delusion.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we've got a lot of problems with this God of Islam, especially the way it's interpreted with these jihadists. Because you can tell that Muhammad created the religion himself with the help of a demon out of the pit of hell who appeared as light, which the Bible says they do. And of course, it's right down a guy's line to rape and pillage and steal and murder his way. So,
that's true.
This is exactly what you would see as a man's religion. You can see this. You can see that a man created it.
Mm-hmm.
There was no God here. There was came out of the pits of hell. And when you reward a guy for fighting and raping and pillaging and say you're going to be in paradise, that's just pure nonsense, but they believe it. And of course, when you get in Europe and you get even in America, people in the political realm don't want to speak the truth of these things. So, you know,
that's a fact.
You know, it's just that, you know, the way things are, you know, if you allow a lie to continue without opposing it with other truth, then people will believe a lie and it'll be spread. And, you know, America has its own share of illegals and other Muslims that are coming in, not to mention the Mexicans. But, you know, this, you know, from South America. But, you know, when you get over in the EU, they've got a mess over there.
Oh, they do. It's horrible.
And then when you talk about socialism, you know, time and again we've brought out cases of the socialist teaching and economy, just absolutely ridiculous, and Venezuela is one of the biggest ones. There was news reported that saying that the ambassadors, U.S. ambassadors and representatives and American people from the from our government are being recalled from there, from Venezuela, and they say that And some of the rumors was that this is a prelude to an invasion to try to get Venezuela straightened out. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I hope so.
But in another thing, this is in Afghanistan. There was an article by a Vision Christian Radio, and it was about a former child soldier. And he, of course, was in Afghanistan. He converted to Christianity, even though, of course, when you do, you face a lot of danger from your own family and from other Muslims. And he said he was taught to kill people who were Christian because they were infidels and no good. However, when one of his friends became a Christian and told him about his new faith, he was open to listen. And he read the Bible for himself, which was eye-opening, and it helped him to understand that what he had been taught about Christians and Christianity was wrong.
Yeah, and that's good.
So he ended up converting to Christianity, and then he had to flee his own family, which is typical when something like this happens. And, of course, Afghanistan, there was... You know, on the persecution list, that's persecution.com. They put it out every year. North Korea is number one, and Afghanistan was number two. Afghanistan has a very small Christian community, but it's very, very dangerous to be a Christian there.
It's hard to imagine all this going on with our brothers and sisters in the Lord.
It is. And as we go ahead, you know, with our own, you know, work, which is advocating for the persecuted church on our Wednesday broadcast, and we do that through our websites and through all of our Warn Radio network of places where we... send the signal out from where you can find it. You can come to our websites. We have an updated Spreaker app on the front as well. And the Spreaker app is just one more. I mean, we have all the videos and all our own audios embedded in our own sites. You can download them. But you can also now access the show through the Spreaker app. You can get that on your Android or iPhone. And all you have to do is search for Warn Radio, WARNRADIO, and you'll be able to find us. We are also on iHeart Radio and the iHeart app. We are on TuneIn and the TuneIn app. And we are on a number of others, folks. And we have several iTunes feeds. We're on Blueberry and their network of connections. So we have got a lot of spread here that you can listen. And that's where we advocate. Not only do we teach a couple of days a week, but we advocate. We cover stories that regarding the persecuted church. We cover stories about miracles, don't we, Tower?
We do, all the time. I think that's exciting.
Yeah, it is. And... one thing that I was particularly, you know, in America, we have a divide in this country between, you know, the Democrats and, well, you know, the Republicans even. The Republicans themselves were never for Trump. Matter of fact, when he won, when he was winning the Republican nomination, they were considering keeping him out of the whole thing. But he had gotten support in almost every election going up to the general election. And so when he went into the Republican convention, they had no choice. And the Bushes came out against him. Almost every top Republican senator castigated him.
They did.
The Republicans themselves didn't like him. Rand Paul, Ron Paul, I mean, all the others, none of them liked him. But he won. Took it anyway, and of course the Democrats and Republicans both came against him. I mean, he was totally against, and he is up in the presidency today now, and there's still a fight going on. And part of that fight, you know, of course, is the Democrats now hate Trump more than the Republicans dislike him. And so this has caused a lot of problems, and of course they wouldn't give him money to fund the wall, although we have an absolute crisis on the border, and even the New York Times came out and admitted it, and that's pretty good for a liberal newspaper.
That's true.
And so on top of that, you know, we have Pelosi and Schumer and a lot of others that are against Trump. So there's a lot of division. But see, the thing that's interesting that is in this division, Schumer, who is doesn't like Trump at all, he's a Democrat out of New York, and he appointed Gail Manchin, who is wife of Senator Joe Manchin, a Democrat of West Virginia. Now, you see, these are all Democrats, but they are on or concerned about the committee that actually Trump helped. You know, he's been promoting this as well, and that's the U.S. Commission for International Religious Freedom. And she was on this commission appointed by Schumer. And so it was really good to see that in the midst of all the division and the politics in Washington, we were able to get someone on there, and she actually said that when you see people in other countries that are literally willing to die rather than renounce what they believe, it certainly gives you a different perspective on life.
Yes.
And she says, even though I had an awareness, I had no idea the extent of abuse and violation of human rights as well as religious beliefs. And so she got an eye opener.
That's good.
Well, I think that is good, and I think that bears well that even though we are divided in this country over sometimes stupid things, I mean, the Democrats that are blocking and the Republicans that are blocking, they all voted to vote down this declaration of emergency that Trump made. And the Republicans not standing with him, which doesn't surprise me. I am not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. The Republicans are gutless, and the Democrats are viciously liberal. So neither one fits me. And I'm not libertarian, and I'm not a greenie. So I don't look at any of that like that. And so it's good to see that in the midst of this absolutely preposterously stupid, you know, political atmosphere in Washington, absolutely abundantly ignorant as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly.
This division, the Democrats who won't give, you know, Trump money for the border, the Democrats are the same Democrats who gave border money to other countries and have always voted for, even during Obama, they gave him money for the border. I mean, it's stupid. It has nothing to do with anything other than out-and-out hatred and pride. And it's wicked.
Exactly.
It's damnable. And it will send this country to hell if people in this country don't get their heads out of the proverbial rear end where it's at. But having said that, it is good to see that somebody got their head out of the rear end long enough to see that there's something else in this life.
Yes, sir.
Rather than the stupid idiocy that's going on in D.C. And this woman found out that there is something more important. She, like many others, knew that there was, there's violation of human rights. But until you get your nose in it, you don't know how much. And, of course, with the Andrew Brunson case, which we have covered extensively, and, of course, there's the Asiya Bibi case, and there's many others. There was others in Iran a long time ago. There's others that was in North Korea. And we have brought them all out and talked about them over the years. And, of course, these are the things that make you understand how bad it is. So they have a prisoner of conscience program. And they end up adopting various prisoners to use, you know, to get the word out. And so it was good in that. And she says it's a commitment and dedication to a large global issue that is not getting better. Unfortunately, it seems like that in many of the countries that we are watching, the conditions are deteriorating and not getting better, so we cannot let up. And, of course, these were her final words in this. And you know, this is the way it is, you know, and we've reported that, you know, the conditions and the persecution is continuing and it's not letting up. And if you add in China, it's actually gotten worse among others. So, you know, when you look at this, folks, this is something that needs to be dealt with. Christians need to wake up. And if Washington don't get their heads out of their butts, Washington is going to fail. You know, this country and its government is going to fail in protecting its citizen. And that's exactly what we see in the EU when the politicians went ahead against popular opinion and just opened up their borders. And so
it was a big mistake.
Yeah, it was. And the UK, they have some of the worst knifings and stuff going on. And it's almost, you know, a lot of times, I mean, all the stuff that I've read has been Muslims stabbing others. Because, see, they've been taught that if you don't believe in the Quran and do what they do, then you're an unbeliever. And they have a right to kill you, according to the Quran.
Horribly wicked.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. And so we are in the last days, and it behooves the governments, especially all those that in the West, to get their heads out of their butts, to put it bluntly, and understand there are enemies of Western civilization and of our way of life, and they are here, and they will stop at nothing to destroy this way of life. Over time, they will. And we have seen this time and time again. And with Christians, if there is Christians living in a Sharia Muslim state, 99% of the time, those Christians are persecuted in that country. They are oppressed, and they are held in disregard. And they would do
horrible.
It for anybody. Anybody that is not a Muslim will be held in contempt. So those are things to think about. Now, when you begin to talk about this, you're going to find people that will deny it.
They
you'll find
sure
politicians.
Will.
You'll find Christian churches that will deny it. But I'm here to tell you that people are willingly ignorant and, in fact, stupid on many of these issues and don't understand the threat to modern society.
Nope, they sure don't.
And you'll find out for yourself. These words will come true. So, at any rate, I was really glad to see that she was part of that and that she was working towards that and within the confines of advocacy and making the needs known of those who are persecuted for their faith. We have, and of course, you know, if you get in China and talk about what they're doing, the one big example, of course, is Christianity, because that's grew the biggest in China. But the Chinese are also persecuting Muslims, the Uyghur Muslims over there, among other groups. And we see this in many other countries as well. So there is a lot of stuff going on. And we need to wake up. And so, at any rate, that's one thing that when we talk about this, we want you to be sure to support these organizations that are out there, that are on the ground, and the others that are helping to support them. And pray for them and help them financially.
Those are the two best things you can do for them.
So at any rate, Tower, are you ready with yours?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
This story comes to us from Bibles for the Mideast. It's about a man named Shah. Of course, his name's been changed. And he was an aggressive Islamic Muslim in a Muslim-dominated Asian country. And they only recognized Christianity as a minor religion. And, of course, they considered blasphemy against Allah and the Prophet Muhammad great crimes. And they would persecute many Christians by falsely accusing them. Which is just because it just drives me crazy that they do that. But And one day when Shaw was out, he approached a Christian man that he's seen talking to a young Muslim about the Lord. And he told him that Jesus was just a prophet, that Allah had elevated him, and he would come back as a Mahdi and reign. Well, he'd rule the entire world for 40 years under Islamic Sharia law. And the Christian was calm and tried to share politely the gospel with him, how Jesus was born of a virgin and lived a sinless life and really did die on the cross of Calvary. And he rose from the dead as a ransom to save all humanity from the dead. And this really angered Shaw, and he grabbed the Bible and told him it was annulled and false, and he threw it to the ground and set it on fire. And another man came up, and they were going to tie this minister up with a rope. And then a mob gathered, so they all brutally beat the Christians and afterwards handed him over to the police, accusing him of blasphemy. And the court sent him to prison, and within days he was dead. And Shaw and this other young Muslim, Asif, rejoiced when they'd heard of his death. And they became fast friends in their crusade against Christianity. And they were making sport of persecuting Christians by falsely accusing them. And they'd heard about this meeting that was going on, and they were going there to attack the group. And as they walked to the meeting place, a man joined with them, and he talked to them about the Son of God and told them, God sent his Son, born of a virgin woman, not to condemn the world, but so that the world through him could be saved. And this man is Jesus, the Son of God. Well, the two, Shaw and Asif, became infuriated, and they wanted to beat him up. But instead, they suddenly stepped back in fear, as a heavenly host of warrior angels gathered behind him. And he held a burning Bible in his hands, and it looked like the Bible that they'd thrown on the ground and burned when they attacked the minister. And the man grew brighter and brighter, and his body now shining like many suns, and they noticed nail marks in his hands. In a powerful voice he proclaimed, I am Jesus, the Son of God, and was crucified and died and then rose from the dead. I have come to save you. Don't let Satan misguide you. He is a liar and a thief. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, now and in eternity. And those who gave their lives for me aren't lost, but are with me in eternal glory. I am totally revealed in this book. Follow me and be my witnesses. The men cried and got down on their knees, Lord Jesus, and kneeling before him, you are our Savior and Lord. We believe in you. When they opened their eyes, Jesus and the angels had vanished. And these two practically ran to where the Christians were meeting. They wanted prayer. And it scared the people at the meeting because they knew they were Muslims and were set to destroy them. But then their alarm turned to wonder as the two shared their experiences with Jesus and boldly declared their newfound faith. So these men have spent several days with the prayer group learning more about Christianity. Well, that made them enemies of the Islamic fundamentalists and terrorists who were out to kill them now. So they had to flee to another area and began seriously studying God's word. And now they've become pastors. And when the persecution grew, the men headed for the mountains and joined in ministries with Bibles for Mideast. And because of this, a new ALG church, Assembly of the Loving God, has been born in one of the mountain villages. So praise God for that. You know, we're hearing a lot of stories coming out of the Middle East about Jesus revealing himself to the Muslims. I'm excited about that.
Yes, and these stories, you know, come directly from a ministry that's made entirely up of ex-Muslims who became Christian. They've been going on for quite a long time. They have quite a few of these churches. And they work openly among very, very hostile conditions. And you can donate to their website, Bibles for the Mideast. And that's basically what they want, is money for Bibles. But at any rate, we want to remind you that in the midst of all the persecution, and also we have another... this comes out of the Reverend Sama Hanna. Now this is out of Egypt in Cairo, and he was quoted in Premier that came out in April. And he says, we have two kinds of news. Earthly news, which is very ugly, very discouraging. And I think in the West, you get only earthly news. A bombing here or there, or persecution, for instance. He's talking about mainly just revealing how Christians are getting killed, churches are getting blown up, and things like this. So he says there's earthly news about what's happening as the result of the persecution. But he says this. He says there's heavenly news. He says, we know what is going on spiritually. We see things that not everybody is seeing. We see things that you are not hearing. We see the multitude coming to the knowledge of Christ from every background. So this brings joy to us.
Amen.
In other words, the enemy of God is coming to the Lord, as you heard in that previous article. So it's important to notice this, that in the midst of all that, there is good news.
Yes, thank God.
Now, as we move on, we're back in America. CBN had a disturbing story about an 84-year-old widow. She has the Pacific Justice Institute. Now, I've heard of them. They do stand up for religious rights of various people whenever they come to mind. And this particular widow by the name of Artis has volunteered with the chaplaincy program and led Bible studies in the home. And she began encountering opposition from officials last September when it was claimed that a discussion between herself and another resident about heaven and hell had allegedly caused him to lose sleep, and therefore was elder abuse, emotional abuse, and otherwise illegal.
Good grief.
And so, you know, the bottom line of it is, it seems, and she believes, because she's a Jewish believer in Jesus Christ, she's being attacked by others. But the home says it has to protect its residents. So... this actually stopped her from doing much of what she was doing before. And so she is standing up for her rights and being able to do what she's been doing. And, this is a disturbing thing. And, of course, this is America. When I was raised, nobody would really say this. And we've had so many generations of basically humanistic, scientific-minded, selfish, prideful people that give no ear to God. In other words, and we heard this from another young gal we were talking to, who said that a lot of her friends, and she was like 20 years old, but she was a Christian, who wants to get involved in work, and we were talking to her about what we were doing and everything, and about the way society was. And she was mentioning the fact that a lot of these young people are not so inclined like they used to be. You remember that conversation?
Yes, she said there was that the young people, her age group, says that there is no truth.
And when she said that, I remembered that one particular film we saw so long ago. And it was about, it was a famous actor, too, that played in this Christian film. And he went back to time travel back to the modern day age.
Oh, yeah, what's his name?
And he found a society filled with churches and other things, but there wasn't no absolute truth. And the main things that was happening in the churches is going bowling or going out to eat or doing things like that. It was more of a social club.
Yeah.
And so make no mistake about it, it's more than a social club. It's more than going out. And some of the best times I had a fellowship was after a Sunday night service, and we would go on over to the local A&W, a bunch of us, and we would have snacks and, you know, and some drinks and just enjoy ourselves for about another hour, hour and a half. That was a big time, too. But see, we also spent time studying in the Word, and we studied a lot of the things, matter of fact, that we even talk about today. We knew way back there in the 70s that there was going to be a big thing with homosexuality, that it was going to be headed that way, and many other things we discussed that are currently the problem in the issues today. And so, folks, a lot of us in the church had been warned, and we have been warning for a lot of years, but yet there's a lot of people that don't want to listen. But see, this woman here, this is unconscionable. And matter of fact, I think it says that she and her husband both, I think he was a veteran.
Yes.
Her husband had served as a merchant marine in World War II. That kind of reminds me of my grandfather, because in World War II, he had worked for the government, and he was actually like a merchant marine, except he was with the government, and he was also charged with security, and he had to go up and down the coast during World War II. A 500-mile stretch, I think it was, from Catalina Island on up. So it's kind of interesting when I seen a lot of that. I mean, you know, this is unconscionable. This is, you know, and the thing of it is, Tower, it's like this. This guy doesn't have sleep because he's worried.
He should be worried if he's in a...
Yeah.
He's a senior citizen. He's got, like my dad used to say, I've got more days behind me than ahead of me, and that's what that guy is, and he should be concerned about his eternity.
And that's exactly right. And, you know, you need to talk to people and tell them you need to make the decision now and you won't have to worry.
Yeah, don't wait.
You know, so, you know,
time is now.
You know, the only thing this woman needs is just give her a few points on dealing with these issues. But see, the thing of it is, the people may not want to. Because all a senior is an old sinner if they're not saved, folks. It's just like that. Many of you think that when you become a senior and in a veterans home or in a nursing home that you become harmless. No, you're not harmless. Tower and I used to read the Word of God in a nursing home here in town, and we dealt with Alzheimer's and others. And you could tell the ones that knew the Lord right away.
Yeah, and the others that didn't became agitated.
Yeah, the others were agitated, and the Christians immediately. I mean, and we saw them where they were totally, you know, just, you know, incoherent, really, not knowing what's going on. But once you got into reading the Bible, they were there.
And you could tell they were comforted by that. And when we sang songs, they knew, you know, the songs.
Yeah, and it was really, really interesting. Now, I had another acquaintance of mine, a Jewish prophet, who did that in a nursing home, and he was praying for the people when he was in there, and these people were getting delivered, and he talked to the head nurse and the doctors there and told them, these people don't need to be in here anymore. They've got their, you know, they're sane, they're normal now. And so this is really, you know, the world isn't ready for stuff like this.
Uh-uh. No, America is really sold into their doctors and the medical. But I, go ahead. I was just going to say something else.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just talking about how America is sold into the medicines and, you know, the drugs and doctors and stuff. But I was reading about a group called, they're doctors and they practice functional medicine, which is they get to the root of the problem, find out what the cause is, and they treat the, you know, they, instead of treating symptoms, they get to the root of the cause and give you a solution by diet, changing your diet and other things to become healthy again and not, and to get off the drugs.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a thing, not more drugs.
Right.
But, you know, and I've seen doctors too, and I've seen a good amount of them that include prayer, Christianity, and things within the confines of how you take care of people. Now, one thing we want to cover tonight is about the Early Rain Covenant Church and Wang Yi. That was his church. It was one of the largest in China. And it came at a time when China was pretty open and a lot of churches began coming out really began to grow. And then, of course, it got out that there were more Christians in China than there were communist members, and a crackdown happened. Wang Yi and about 100 others, plus his wife, I mean, a bunch of them were arrested, and Barnabas Fund reported that there's a further 44 arrests now of the Early Rain Covenant Church. But, you know, we've covered this extensively as much as people can find out. And they said that there is, a lot of this pressure, throughout China. And in a lot of these provinces, they're planning on shutting down every church, controlling everything they can. But the church leaders themselves are saying that when they arrest one of us, somebody will take their place and we will never quit.
That's right.
They have plans to go back underground, to go into individual churches again. And this is exactly for years and years after, the good guys in China lost, and of course the American missionaries had to leave, Chiang Kai-shek I'm talking about, and of course he went over on the island, and the Chinese took over the rest of it, and of course there was no churches. We didn't even know if any Christians were left in China until it was way after Nixon got the ball rolling with relationships with China. But the thing that makes you sick is that America and her form of democracy and accepting and pushing a relationship with China has actually helped China and made it a worldwide power, because they weren't nothing before. They had the people, but they never had the technology. And I remember my dad telling me, if China ever got the technology and the ability, then you better watch out. As a child, I was warned about China, and that when I grew up, I'd have to worry about them, but watch out for them. Because they would be coming back, and that was, many of them in the church believed that, because they saw it as the dragon. Now, within the confines of this, this thing is continuing to hit the church there, but, for years and years there wasn't anything, and we found out later that it was because of a lot of the individual group churches that they had in small meetings throughout China. And when it was finally released, there was just millions and millions of Christians in every little corner. They even had them in the communist government. They even had them in the portion of the government and a lot of other places. But so far, 300 of the church members have been arrested or detained. They've even detained the mother. They've detained children. And, of course, the kids and a lot of the others, they put them down in training camps. Because in China, the kids are deemed the property of the state. A lot, even socialism will do the same thing. And
that's terrible.
Yeah, and so, I mean, that's exactly what Stalin did. That's what Hitler did. If you can take the children and mold their minds any way you want, you can at an early age. And that's what the devil attempts to do, and that's what he's done in America quite successfully. We've had generations and generations of young people misinformed, mistaught, and now they have no morals. They don't believe in absolute truth. They believe there's many ways to heaven, and they believe that man is a God himself, and that they're going to rise to the next level. Now, this is the absolute lies that many of these people believe that have come out of from schools for generations. They believe you can have any kind of a sexual arrangement. You can do anything you want to. There is no such thing as sin. This is why America is in so much trouble, and this society. This is the society that is going to reject the love of the truth, and they're doing that. But in the midst of this, God is saving people, and he's still moving, and we see miracles. We see a lot of people, and it's ironic, you know, Tower, that as God is moving in the Middle East and around the world, even with miracles, we see America falling away.
Oh, I know.
I think one thing that the Trump presidency has done, I think it's shaken the Christian thing itself.
Good.
I think a lot of the Christians have started to wake up to what's going on. A lot of churches have. And there's still churches that he hasn't won over yet. And of course, that doesn't surprise me. Christians are supposed to be one and love one another. Many times the last place you can find love and acceptance is in a Christian church.
Yep, that's true.
And we're coming down to 51. This next one I'm not going to do. I'm not going to worry about this. We're going to go into years.
Okay.
Three times dead.
Okay, this happened in 1997. It's about a family. They were started out on a Sunday morning. They were driving home from church when an ambulance broadsided their car in an intersection. There was three people in the car, the mother, the dad, and the young boy. He was 8 at the time. And this accident killed her husband immediately. And Julie Kemp, the mother, was stabilized. And they thought it was the only two, that the husband and her were the only two in the car. But one of the rescuers happened to see a shoe in the back seat. And the son was sitting behind his dad. His name is Landon. And there was so much damage to the driver's side, that's why they couldn't find him. And when they seen the shoe, they dug deeper and found his body and pulled him out. And they did all they could to bring him back to life. He was resuscitated and life-flighted to a medical center. And he died 2 more times that day. And both times he was brought back to life. And the doctors didn't give Julie, his mother, much hope for survival. They told her if he lived, he wouldn't, which did not look good. But if he lived, he would be like an 8-year-old baby. He would not know how to walk or talk or to eat because of all the brain damage. And she said she was so desperate that that was okay. I would take that just to have him because he was all that I had. And she said at her husband's funeral, she felt abandoned by God. She was disappointed and heartbroken. And she was sitting there at the funeral fussing at God. And she didn't understand why this happened. And why didn't you send your angels to protect us? And she said, but in the very next breath, I'm praying as hard as I can that he would give my son land in life. And Landon had suffered massive head trauma during the accident and remained in a coma. He was hooked up to all kinds of machines, and there were no signs. There was nothing good or bad, nothing happening. And she kept praying that he would open his eyes. And after 2 weeks, Landon did open his eyes. And to everyone's amazement, he had no brain damage. But in the midst of her joy, Julie knew she had to tell Landon that his dad had died in the accident. And she remembered seeing her son with all the scars on his face, and his head was just full of hurt. And she didn't want to hurt him anymore. And so she asked him, Landon, do you know where your dad is at? And he told her, yes, I know where he is at. I saw him in heaven. And decades have passed since the accident, but Landon still clearly remembers his amazing experiences in heaven. He says, I remember being able to see my dad and his friend Olin Palmer, who had just passed away less than a month before he did, and he was also killed in a car accident. They seen Olin's son, Neil, who had died years before on a four-wheel accident, a four-wheeler. And he said, and it was funny because I remember it all like we were standing in a square. Never one of us said a word to each other, but we were just all standing there. And then he looked over to his mother and said, "Oh, Mom, by the way, I forgot to tell you, I saw your other two kids." She said she just looked at him because she wasn't sure what he was talking about. But she'd had two miscarriages before Landon was born, and he saw them in heaven. We had never shared that with Landon. He did not know that they had lost two children before. And Landon remembers, "I knew that they were my siblings, even though no one ever told me about them. Just being in heaven, I guess you know. You know your own, and you know who everyone is." And he says each time he died, he had a different experience in heaven. And during the third time, he says he met Jesus and was given a mission. He said it was almost as if like a preview of a movie, to where you only get to see certain bits and pieces of things. But Jesus came to me and told me that I have to go back to earth and be a good Christian and tell others about him. And today, through Grief Share, Landon and Julie, Landon's mother, share their story with others who are struggling with loss and in need of hope. And Julie says, "I didn't understand in 1997 why God didn't send angels, but I know that there were angels there, and I know that we were protected and we are living out what his plan is for us. Instead of stuck in grief or instead of staying mad at him, I was able to use this story to help others not to give up and to keep their faith on their grief journey." And Landon says, "I just want people to realize that Jesus is real. There is a heaven, there are angels, and to follow his word in the Bible, and life does get better at the end." So that's a wonderful story about how they've turned this, you know, what it says in the Bible, God turns situations around, and what was horrible, he makes it into a blessing for others.
Well, he does, and you're right. It is a good story, and that's one of the reasons we wanted to do it. To make sure that you understand that God is not distant and far off, that he is there at hand. And so we want to remind you of that, and also remind you to go to our websites at warren-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. You can contact us. If you really need something, want to talk to us, that's where you get a hold of us. Be sure to know that, you know, the Lord is looking down upon you all the time. He's with you, really.
Yes,
but,
amen.
But the entirety of heaven is watching. And God knows everything that's happened to you. And everything, you know, is in his power to heal and to deliver. And sometimes we think about the justice on this earth, that we don't get the justice we desire. But one day justice will arrive for everybody. One day every one of those ISIS fighters that I covered this every day, literally, folks. I got so sick of the blood, but I covered it. It's hard for me to talk about. But one day, I will be a witness, and I will see God hold them accountable. Because God is a righteous God, and he will hold the justice, and it's never wrong. So we want to thank you for joining us. We're going to have to get off of here. This has been the Advocacy Prophecy News. I'm the Watchman, and Tower is...
And be sure to join us tomorrow night for Battle Lines, Mystery Babylon Apocalypse, John's Revelation of Jesus Christ, Part 18. And we love you. We pray for you. God bless you richly as you serve him. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Have a good night. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.
Lowe's knows you're the pro who does it right to find more ways to save because your business depends on it. We do it right, too, with savings every day, plus even more deals during our Spring Black Friday sale. Get $40 off 5-gallon buckets of select paint and stains via Lowe's gift card rebate. Buy three or more Purdy brushes and get 15% instant savings. And get up to 35% off select appliance special values. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Paint and stain offer valid through 410. Purdy and appliance offers valid through 417. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
Mommy, I'm bored. Shall we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America?
Dad, I'm tired of the swing. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America?
There's no room to build a sandcastle. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America? Make your day prehistoric at the Bronx Zoo Dinosaur Safari.